Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
A tip of my hat to the Mid-America Crop Life Association for holding the Obamas accountable for their new organic White House garden. Now, I've always been against organic foods. If I wanted to ingest something a hippie picked, I would eat an auto harp. So I was glad that Mid-America Crop Life sent the first family a letter warning them to consider using crop protection products like pesticides and to recognize the importance and value of America's current agricultural technologies. Exactly. Without those technologies, we wouldn't have Monsanto's Roundup Ready soybeans, which are resistant to the toxic herbicide glyphosate. If we don't douse our crops with glyphosate, how will the runoff get into our fish? Now, these are some people who love the taste of glyphosate.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a pierogi's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas, wind blowing through breathing trees, strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davy company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Alsip Home and Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. And by Birchold's Floral Gift and Garden Center. Get green, let's get growing. If he saw a shadow this morning, there will be six more weeks of gridlock in Washington, D.C. Here he is, Mike Novak.
One more time.
We have an engine down. We have an engine down. Actually, it's a computer. There's one here. On the right side, it is malfunctioning, on fire. Well, it's not technically on fire. That's just, look at this. But Denny's working it from behind the scenes to see if we can get this thing back up. Good morning, everybody. Let's see. Rob, you're here.
Morning, everybody.
And Carol is here.
Check. I am here.
I see you fussing with the button there.
I am.
Sarah in the car on the way. Hi, Sarah. Good morning. Wherever.
Oh, did you hear that? Did you hear that?
Hear what?
Say it again, Sarah.
Good morning.
Oh, there. Oh, good. But she's in the building. Sarah has entered the building. You're good. Oh, my goodness. And look at you. She looks like she's straight out of the Mod Squad. Do we have Mod Squad music? I need Mod Squad music here. That's awesome. That's an awesome getup. It's very, very 60s. Yeah, I like it. She's even got a headband. It's just too cool. So we're all met. Well, at least it's still on vacation, still scuba diving. Don't suck up any ocean water, Lisa. It can't be good for you. It's salty. Anyway.
Salty. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I would say it's full of mercury and stuff, but I don't know. It's just full of carbon now. On the show today, it's jam-packed. And we're going to start by talking about bed bugs, of all things. There you go. There's something for your breakfast on Sunday. Something to have along with that. Rick Moskowitz is here from A-Plus Pest Control. And I didn't realize that this is his sixth time on the show, Rick.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
Sixth time.
That's I should have been keeping track. I probably would have limited the number of times you could be on the show.
That was a lot of years, Mike.
I know.
It's we were both a lot younger.
Speak for yourself, dude.
Okay.
And he's even got his guitar. He's threatening to do his new jingle. Oh, geez. And what's interesting, and Rick is often, let me put it that way, on radio shows all over the area. And I don't think any of the other ones let you play your guitar, do they?
No.
I'm it, right?
You're it. Well, I had the mandolin last time, remember last
yes,
year?
Yes, I do remember that. You had the mandolin. And to his right is George Manning, who was an entomologist. George, good morning. You can speak right in there, too.
Good morning.
The name of your company, again, is American...
Pest Solutions.
American Pest Solutions. And you guys are actually kind of... competitors. I mean, I thought
friendly
it was
competitors.
Friendly competitors. Is that how it works in the business?
I would say so.
Okay, good. Because I don't want you guys duking it out here, you know, and sabotaging one another here on the show. And next to George is Kay. Is it Karash?
Karash.
I'm sorry. Kay is with the Green Building Connections. The three of you, we'll get to you in just a second. I just want to let folks know what's going on. Of course, at 9:45, Rick DeMaio weather, and we're going to try to explain, or he will try to explain, how in 1 year we go to drought from drought to what it is we see now. Watch it rain all week, and why it's going to be about 50 degrees outside on June 2nd. Wow. We live in interesting times, don't we?
It's been very hard to get rid of the ants this year because of that.
Really? All right. And you know, and I will say we've got two pest control guys here in the studio, 773-763-9278. If you got pest problems, why not? Let's do it. I mean, the focus nominally of this conversation will be bed bugs. But ants, as you say, and I know you and the point here also is using green products, safe products. You can give us a call, 773-763-9278, if you got a question, you've got a problem, perhaps, give us a call. As I said, Rick DeMaio weather, 9:45, Jerry Adelman, who is the president and CEO of Openlands, will be here at 10 o'clock, to talk about Openlands' 50th anniversary, and that's really cool. That's a good thing in the Chicago area. Openlands has just done remarkable work in 50 years in preserving enhancing the value of our open spaces in and around Chicago. It's always a pleasure to have Jerry on the show, and he will be here. And then to wrap things up, a kind of a hero of mine. And I say that because when I was studying to be a master gardener, back in the past century, I studied up at the Chicago Botanic Garden, and a guy who taught actually entomology, and you guys might know this, Dr. Frederick Miller from Joliet Junior College. You know him, George.
I know of him. I don't know him personally.
Yeah. He taught the entomology course that I took, and he taught other things, and he's working with something called the Urban Agriculture Summer Institute at Joliet Junior College. And basically, it's getting high school students interested in doing urban agriculture. And that is coming up, and we will talk to him about that and how you get registered for that if you're interested in it. And it's a cool course. It sounds like it's pretty intensive, and we'll get more of the details from Dr. Frederick Miller. He is a guy, I might as well say it now, he said, this will apply to you in the studio, because you know this story too. Now, he was speaking in terms of gardening and folks who see insects and other bugs And I use bugs in quotes and to cover everything because we know that worms are not insects and spiders are not insects and slugs are not insects. But let's say bugs. And Dr. Miller, when he taught the course, and he said something that I have stolen and used many times in garden talks, which is he says that people ask two questions. What is it and how do I kill it? And they usually skip the first question. And I just thought that was one of the most remarkable things I'd ever heard about bugs. And what it shows is, and given what you guys do, it's kind of interesting because it shows if, one, we're not curious, you know, because we're not interested in what it is. We just want to kill it. Well, how do you know you're supposed to kill it if you don't know what it is? And that to me is very frustrating, and it shows our lack of curiosity. We don't like anything that crawls or creeps, and we don't realize that they actually have places on this planet, and they have jobs to do, just like we have jobs to do, and they help our flora in various ways. They a lot of these bugs and insects add life to our soils. And they do other things. I was wondering, since you're an entomologist, George, you want to comment on that?
Yes. Actually, the biggest problem that people have is something of the unknown. So they fear the unknown, and little creatures, all these arthropods, bugs, are part of the unknown. So when they are confronted with them, they feel it's something they have to get rid of. So there's a fear factor. Mm-hmm. But I think in education, that would go in any of the gardening programs that exist, people become familiar with these creatures that do help. Of course, you mentioned worms, and certainly they are a big factor, and lots of people are raising red worms to mm-hmm. use in composting and so on and so forth. So there's a familiarity with different types of creatures that are, for many people, fear factors.
Yeah, and I think that's it. So, and how do you overcome the fear? Knowledge. That's how you overcome the fear. And if we're not curious and if we're not interested in finding out what it is we have here, we're just going to continue to have that fear. And then our response to every single bug is going to be, how do you kill it?
Well, there's another thing, too, that propagates fear, and that's with children. I remember years ago with my two children, Leslie and Michael, on the North Avenue beach, and we were walking towards an area where the boardwalk goes out, juts into the lake there, and people were just approaching the boardwalk, and we saw the gulls out there on the shoreline, and I told the kids, let's go over and see what it is. And when we got there, it was full of different agricultural, different insects that showed up, and we turned our back to the people so that the kids wouldn't see the reaction that people might have to all those little insects that were all over the place, just because I was concerned about that kind of an experience. You don't know when it happens, but sometimes it's just instilled in a child, and it grows up.
Well, you know, and I wonder about that, too, because one of the things that I've noticed is that it seems to be divided. You've got the kids that are fearless, and they love all insects, and everything is, let's touch it. Let's, you know, when you do the insect petting zoo that the the Illinois Master Gardeners do, and Sarah knows about this because she's been part of it, we have these giant millipedes that are, you know, 8 inches, 10 inches long. And they're kind of fun, actually, to, you know, and the hissing cockroaches, which are and these are exotic animals, and tarantula, and you can let the tarantula run. And if you know what you're dealing with, there's really no fear. It's kind of cool.
That's right.
But as you said, it's that fear of the unknown.
Well, when they're in your house, then it gets scary sometimes.
All right. Well, let's segue into that. Drag that microphone over there, Rick Moskovitz. That leads to something that we've been dealing with in the country, and that is bed bugs.
Yes.
Is it an epidemic? Is it a plague?
The answer, well, plague. Okay, bed bugs carry disease, many vectors, they call them, right, George?
Well, get the words. There's no known identified diseases that can be backed up. We suppose that there are going to be incidental vectors. As far as what they pick up in the blood, you know, there's potential.
Well, the important thing is they can't give it to us. They can get it. They get it. They have it. They carry it, but they don't transmitted. They don't. There's no proof of that right now.
That's
right?
True, but there's a thought that MRSA, for example, could be an issue.
Okay,
really?
But it's
through
not,
bed bugs, the vector.
I don't know this for a fact, but it's been said.
Yeah.
Around, I hear it, and we think about it as a possibility, but not a certainty.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, it is a very bad problem. It's everywhere. Chicago's number one, according to Orkin.
What? Number one in the country? We're number one?
Well, yeah. They go between cities,
wait,
you know. Because,
wait, ding, 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 ding.
Okay.
We're number one. Bed bugs. Woohoo!
Gets to be interviewed
Chicago,
a lot. It's good.
Chicago.
Gets me interviewed a lot. It's good.
I guess it does. Get you on shows like this, right? And you've been dealing with this for some time.
We've been doing it almost every day for a number of years now.
Uh-huh.
And it's a hard thing to get rid of. George will attest to it. It's a very hard thing.
Very hard. And
why?
Very, very
why?
Detailed.
What is it about bed bugs that makes them so tough to eradicate?
They seek hiding places, and they like to get into places where they can be contacting all sides, three sides of their body, for example. That's something that is common for a lot of cockroaches, too, where they will look for a place to hide, and they squeeze into places. And also because they collect with a pheromone odor, which is an aggregation pheromone where they all will gather together in a spot eventually. So,
but unlike cockroaches, they will tell. What's their interaction with human beings?
Well, of course,
we're the food, right?
We're the host.
Yeah, we're the host. I mean, but cockroaches don't do that. I mean, in that regard, cockroaches are a lot less scary. It seems to me.
Well, see, but once they've had a meal, they can go into a wall, for instance, and live there a year and a half without a meal again, right? And they can, they could even mate. They could have babies even when they're not, they haven't had a meal. So they multiply fast.
Well, the time apparently bed bugs will live about a year takes 1.5 to 2 months to mature from an egg to an adult. They go through a series of molts where they shed the outer skin and then go on to the next level until they reach
it. How old will a big bug? How long can a bed bug live?
We think a year, maybe a little longer, mm-hmm. if possible. But they can live longer if they don't have a food supply, for example.
And they actually live longer without food?
If there's no host around, they can hang on sometimes beyond that.
They're perverse, right? You can't kill me. I don't have any food, but I'm just going to hang on here until I find some.
And that's why when we use heat or steam or any kind of treatment like that, sometimes freezing people use, I don't think that works, but that's there,
yeah.
That it'll last maybe 30 days, maybe a little longer, but then it comes back.
Well, all right. I want to get into that. I got to take care of some business here. And Kay, don't worry, we're going to get to you too, because Kay Karish is also here in the studio. That's Rick Moskowitz from A-Plus Pest Control. We also have George Manning from American Pest Solutions. We're talking bed bugs, and your phone calls are welcome, 773-763-9278. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk AM and FM. Did you know that June is Perennial Gardening Month? It's also National Rose Month. And I know a great place to celebrate both, Alsip Home and Nursery in Frankfort, Illinois, and St. John, Indiana. Both locations are bursting at the seams with plants and goodies that you want to get your hands on. In fact, just yesterday, I talked to Alsip CEO Richard Christakis. He's been on this program. You've probably heard him here. And he told me that he couldn't remember when the Frankfort store looked so good. He said, well, it might be the rain. Things are pretty lush at the moment. He said that fresh shipments of annuals are still coming in every single day. And yesterday, talk about timing, yesterday Alsip started their reduced summer pricing on annuals. You can get as much as 50% off on some of their legendary planters. Fresh tropicals from California have just arrived. They're great to put out on your patio or balcony for the summer. And if you haven't gotten your veggies in the ground, hey, it's far from too late. Alsip still has a good selection of veggies and herbs, and you can find out by going to alsipnursery.com. And while you're there, join their A-list preferred customer program or go to the stores in person in Frankfort, Illinois, and St. John, Indiana. AlsipNursery.com, ALSIP Nursery.com.
Jennifer Brennan, the smart one.
And I'm Mike Novak, the pretty one.
We're the co-hosts of Dig In Chicago,
Chicago Television's only local gardening and cooking show.
And we're thrilled to be back for our second season, offering gardening tips and tours.
Plus, local chefs and local dishes.
Saturday mornings at 8:30.
And this year, we're on the U2 channel, 26.2.
See you there. I've got to go spread some calcium.
Ooh, I have to do my nails. And I hope you tuned in yesterday at 8:30 on the U2. And that was episode number 3. And it'll be repeated next Saturday on the U2 at 8:30 on Saturday. In fact, you might want to catch that one because Ron Coghill is in that episode. He's showing us how to put in rain barrels at my community garden, Green on McLean. Now, I want you to look out the window. It's June. Everything looks just June-y, doesn't it? And with all the rain we've had recently, you're never going to see things grow better than they are right now, even with a little bit of cooler weather. And we'll talk to try to find out how that's going to affect your plants. I can tell you right now, your tomatoes might sulk a little bit. But it's a great time to get a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. The May-June issue is the biggest, baddest issue of the year, and it will keep your yard and garden looking great. For example, Madam Editor Carolyn Ulrich has a story about this time of year when we're moving from the cool spring to the hot summer and sometimes back again, as you can see outside. It can be tricky to put together a container with plants that know how to deal with different kinds of weather. But Carolyn has a list of plants that includes annuals, perennials, and even biennials. Of course, June is Rose Month, and Carolyn also writes about 20 different kinds of roses that you might want to have on your radar screen. She knows about them because she grows them all in her Hyde Park garden. Then there's my column on the inside back page. I use at least 20 different words. Shakespeare would be proud. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600.
Bonnie knows when you plant something, it keeps on giving. Growing from friend to neighbor to community. Generations of gardeners have trusted Bonnie for fresh, healthy vegetable and herb plants. Rely on Bonnie for quality plants, help, and support. Bonnie, gardening with you since 1918. BonniePlants.com.
We love organic pest control. That's why I've got guys like Rick Moskowitz in the studio. It's hard to know what approach or product to use sometimes. One will take care of caterpillars, but not beetles. Of course, I'm talking not your mattress, but your plants. Others are effective on beetles, but not aphids or thrips. That's where Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew comes in. Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew insecticide contains spinosad, which is made by fermenting a bacterium that was collected, and this is a true story, from an abandoned Caribbean rum distillery in 1982. It's not only effective, but safe to use directly on your affected plants. Captain Jack's products are available in a number of consumer-friendly formations. Concentrates offer economy for gardeners with lots of plants to treat. Ready-to-use and ready-to-spray products offer conveniences to those who only need to spot treat or who don't have a sprayer to apply the product. And then in 2011, Bonide introduced the product in a dust. You can get Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew at Wendell Nipagan Garden Center in Bloomington, Illinois, Big R Stores, all locations, Greenview Nursery in Dunlap, Illinois, or go to Bonide.com to find a retailer near you. Don't forget to download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid. Find out how to treat the problem before it gets out of hand. Go to Bonide.com. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. And in the studio, as I mentioned before, I have Rick Moskowitz. I have George Manning. I have Kay Karish. And we're talking bed bugs and how difficult it is to take care of them. Now, we've got a new strategy, and that's part of the reason we're here, to talk about a new strategy. Now, what was the old strategy, Rick?
Well, the old strategy was chemicals a lot of people used, which don't work anymore a lot of times.
Is it because the bugs have become resistant to them?
I think a lot of times they're still using some of the chemicals in Europe, and when they come here, that's how we're getting them.
You know, it's interesting because I talked to an entomologist, and again, you might want to comment on this, a number of years ago, and we got into that whole argument about DDT and mosquitoes and malaria. And it was this entomologist's contention. This person told me that we didn't stop using DDT because it was killing birds. We stopped using DDT because it stopped working. That insects were becoming resistant to it to some degree. What's your feeling on that, George?
That's not 100%. The biggest problem we had is with all of those products that are chlorinated hydrocarbons that took everything out, DDT and the others. It certainly did affect the birds, as we all know. Resistance is rather difficult to achieve. It did happen in certain instances because insects are able to generate an enzyme that helps to wipe out whatever.
And we do know that with future generations that some of the products we use, they become less and less effective. Now, that's what you were talking about, Rick.
Yes, I was. I think that's why you wanted me to talk about Killtronic, so what the difference, right?
Well, and then the other thing, what you were going to say, we started with chemicals.
We use steam. There's a heat remediation or thermal remediation where you heat the place up to 130 degrees. And slowly,
the whole room or just the mattress
or what? The whole apartment, the whole place. Okay. And then it slowly pulls bugs out of the walls. And then
you stomp them.
And they die. Everything dies.
You wait till they come out. You stomp them, right?
Let me comment on that.
Okay.
There's a different techniques of using steam.
Okay.
So it's not all one method.
That was heat. That's heat remediation.
But, but heat itself and steam, too, are basically the idea that you destroy the insect with the temperature change. They can't take that temperature. But there's other problems using heat, and that is that there are things that will be affected by heat. So you have to be in an appropriate
like
place
what?
To use it. Well, plastics, for example.
Oh, I see. The materials. Yeah,
you
sure.
You probably have
melt.
Chips and different things.
Is your paint going to peel off of your walls?
You could have issues. So it's not really a
warping.
Total,
warping,
but,
yeah.
But to say use heat, use steam, those specifically all by themselves certainly aren't going to take care of some of the hideaways, like, for example, wall plugs, places where these insects will find a hiding place. So it's not totally useful in every situation. There's a niche of use.
Okay, now that brings us to Killtronic.
Yeah.
Which is, explain what that is.
Okay, well, back when in January we were talking about the bed bug ordinance, Chicago ordinance, I testified at City Hall. I didn't know about Killtronic. And when I testified with the Rogers Park builders, they asked me to do it. And I'm with Rachel Rosenberg from the Safer Pest Control Project.
Right.
And two other people, Ruth, who's now the director, and another person. And 2 days later, Rachel actually emailed me and said this company, Killtronic, contacted her. So would you check it out? And I called the company, and they sent me the survey, this study that was done by Dr. Deanie Miller of Virginia Tech. And she's a very big shot entomologist. She speaks all over the country. She's very well known. George knows her. And I know her. She tested one of my products before,
mm-hmm.
The original's formula. So what she did, I called Tim McCoy, who's really her husband, who actually does the research. And I asked him, is it for real? Because you've got the study. And in the study, there are 50 bed bugs that died within a week. Mm-hmm. They died over the course of 7 days. And the control group, they didn't die. Walking on this material, it's a fabric that's treated, and it's a patent pending treatment. So the patent is how they put it in the fabric. You've got some of it in front of you there.
Yeah.
And how they embed it.
No, I don't have it here. Did you? Oh,
okay.
Here it is.
Right. I can say how they impregnate it, but a better word is embed, I guess. It's how they embed it with this material.
We've got all kinds of it here in the studio.
Right.
I'm holding some of it.
And there's a mattress cover we make out of it, and things like that. So he told me it was for real.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately said, I called the president of the company, and Killtronic said, I want to buy the rights to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up, we bought the rights to Chicago, and I ended up with Illinois. My companies bought the rights to it. And in California, we had some things in California we did. We're going to have cruise lines, all kinds of things, mm-hmm. hotels. So we're doing many apartments. And we've used this in hotels. The way it works is it's a fabric that's treated with this material, and an insect that walks over it is going to pick it up. It's a powder that's in it with minerals in it.
Well, you're telling me it's diatomaceous earth.
Yeah, the diatomaceous earth is the carrier.
Okay,
so that
but it's not like you could sprinkle diatomaceous earth on you're not going to do that. But no, this is it's incorporated
in there. This stuff is so safe. You got it in your hand. This cloth that a child could chew. It's food grade. A child chewed on it or an animal, I wouldn't hurt them.
Well, let's. That brings us to Kay, who's been sitting here very patiently, just roll on up to the mic, Kay, and tell us about green building connections how you're connected to all of this.
It's pretty crazy, isn't it? I have a couple of connections. First, I'm a certified green consultant, and what I do is I go into any type of business or organization, and I don't take a look at what you do. I take a look at how you do what you do. So I certified the first gas station as a green business in the country.
Wait, where was that?
That's in Deerfield.
What's the first green gas station?
It's a Citgo gas station, and it's owned by Dave Welsh. And when we did it...
Give Dave a ding there. Now, what makes a gas station green?
Isn't that interesting? In the first year, Dave made 18 different structural changes to his environment that changed from either toxic to natural and non-invasive, or from... energy waste to energy conservation, let's say by changing light bulbs. He didn't have a programmable thermostat. You know, a lot of the changes that people can make are not a big deal.
They're changes that everybody can make. It's not like he had greener gasoline.
That's exactly right.
He changed the building and what he was doing.
He didn't have greener gasoline, but what he did do is he put, I know you have someone coming in talking about rain barrels. He put rain barrels on the outside connected to his overhang because he has a lot of plantings, and that's what he uses to water his plants. He also changed the chemical that he used to wash down the roads if there's a gas spill to an enzyme base so that when he washes it down into the city's sewers, he's not putting toxins in the water and washing it.
Where's this gas station located?
It's right on Waukegan Road in Deerfield, Illinois.
Waukegan and what, do you know?
Waukegan and kind of near Greenwood.
Okay. Folks, if you're listening, you're driving that way, you need to fill up. Go into Dave's place right now. Say, I stopped in because you're one of the greenest gas stations in the country, and I just heard it on the Mike Novak Show, and tell him that.
That's great. That's really great.
Why not?
So I met Rick because Rick actually has a very green concept in running his business, but I have nothing to do
which
with
it.
Which is A-plus pest control. He actually has two businesses.
And yeah, there's a sister company, which is Plus
Natural Solutions.
Plus Natural Solutions, like worldwide.
Worldwide.
Yes.
Inc.
Mm-hmm. Inc.
And I went in, and I have a certification process that I go through. And in each category that I go through, in order to become certified, you have to obtain 50% of the practices as a certified, verified, transparent green practice. So, for example, in waste, Rick achieved a 50% in waste, and he has half a point in paperless document
systems. You're reading right off. She's got the report here, folks.
I do. That's the whole point, is that people say that they're green, but how do we know it?
And well, your company, Green Building Connections, are you a third-party certifier?
Yes, I am. Okay. And I would love to come in, and I'd love to certify the radio station. There is nothing that can't be certified. There's nothing that can't get certified because, again, it's how you do what you do. I'm looking up right now at your lights, and I see that you have done a great job on your lights, and that's one of the biggest things that I look for.
Okay.
There's a lot of businesses that are still using the really fat fluorescent lights, and you know they don't know that there are state programs which will help them pay for retrofitting those lights, mm-hmm. not just in a commercial setting, not just in a government setting, but in the residence.
So you're happy with what Rick's doing?
I'm very happy with what Rick is doing, but I have another connection, and this one I'm not happy with. My parents live in an assisted living environment, and they had bed bugs. So while
where?
I, you know,
just like a town. You don't have to tell me.
In Niles.
Okay.
A big facility.
It's a large facility. And they really, you know, attended to it. And this happened while I was working with Rick. And then Rick started to talk about the bed bug Kiltronic system that he was really, really genuinely excited about. I mean, he was calling me at home and saying, you're never going to believe this, and this is what I found.
Yeah, but he does that to me, too. So yeah.
And it's all natural. But I'm listening with a new ear because now my parents have bed bugs.
And okay,
and
I gotta
outraged.
Ask you, you know, and so you decided you had to do something about this.
Well, I decided that I needed to certainly share information, and now the organization is looking very seriously at implementing Rick's system throughout the country because bed bugs have no socioeconomic boundary.
That's going to be my next question before I break real quick, which is where do you find them? You say a nursing home, and I think, okay, yeah, this is not my house, and it's probably big institutions, and where they can't control everything. Do you find things in homes as well?
Mike, can I answer that for a second?
Sure.
My husband travels for a living.
Okay.
And I live in fear because he stays in hotel after hotel and, you know, nicer hotels.
Sure.
And Kiltronics just did in New York City a very high-end nameless hotel that unfortunately, and it's one of the nicest ones, had a bed bug infiltrate.
You would recognize the name.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe I've stayed there. Who knows?
That's the point. I just, I had a girlfriend that also travels for a living.
Mm-hmm.
She stays with us when she's in Chicago, and she didn't bring any of her clothes in. I said, Joni, why not? And she said, you know, I had a bed bug experience. I said, oh, I have something for you. I immediately called Rick. I immediately bought the supplies. I immediately gave her a gift.
And we're gonna
What was the gift?
The gift was the spray bottle, and now we're going to ship out some other things. There's
so the Kiltronics you can use in a spray
as well?
There's
a kit for traveling.
Wow.
We have it for back-to-school people. And they're going to have a portable mattress cover coming out soon, which you'll be able to fold up, put in your suitcase.
Well, you have the mattress cover here.
This is a full one, a full fitted one. These are fitted.
Okay.
They come with it. When we do apartments, this
Let's
comes with
Let's get the camera
it.
On that, please. Oh, we've got the Carol with the camera. Yeah.
That's part of the kit is that, and the kill tape, the strips of ribbon I showed you.
Sure.
And pads, which go into the couches and stuff like that. And we put it in the outlets. We put it everywhere, even hotel rooms.
And George, you had your hand up for a second then.
I've been called in as an expert witness on a case in New Mexico in a major hotel. Actually, it's in Santa Fe. But I'm witness for the hotel in this case, and it's quite interesting. The attorney who has a bevy of attorneys in his office is suing because he was bitten and claims that it was at that location that this occurred. So it's involved, but I'm a part of that.
Well, okay. I wish we had, you know, if we had another hour, probably go on and answer all kinds of questions about this. So what I'm going to preview right here is when we come back, I want people to know where they can get the product because they're listening and saying, well, I know somebody's got a big, you know, and I mean for personal use or for professional use or for somebody, you know, like you said, in a nursing home or a hotel, how do they report them, that sort of thing. So that's what when we come back. And also, Rick, I'm going to let you sing the jingle.
Oh.
You're not ready for that?
Yeah, okay.
You brought your guitar. It's not like you can be surprised.
Surprise.
Okay. But before that, Dr. Your Earth with Dr. Earth and Mother Your Plants with Dr. Earth's probiotic Motherland Planting Mix. The blend is chock full of organic ingredients like aloe vera and yucca extracts. Motherland Planting Mix is a perfect protective cover for seeds and will improve drainage in clay soils. Dr. Earth, the root of organic integrity, sold only at local independent garden centers. Go to drearth.com where you can check out their YouTube channel, like them on Facebook, and follow them on Twitter for organic updates.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545. Or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
It's time for Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week, brought to you by Bertolt's Garden Center in Elk Grove Village. Wally isn't a real doctor. He just thinks it's a stitch to make people say, ah. Anyway, Dutch red, yellow, and white dried onion sets, or the dried bulbs, are often used for scallions or green onions. If you want scallions or green onions, Dr. Wally says to plant them 4 inches deep, 2 inches apart, with the rows 1 foot apart. You can start to pick scallions when the tops are 12 inches tall. Now, here's the trick for large onions. Plant them only 1 inch deep, 4 inches apart, with the rows 1 foot apart. Now, this might look strange as the onion continues to grow. Resist the temptation to push the onions deeper. When the ground starts to crack as the onions push the soil away, the bulbing process has begun. As the onions grow larger, they will appear to be almost sitting on top of the soil. That's really cool. For more information, stop in and talk to Dr. Wally yourself. Bertolt's Garden Center is at 434 East Devon Avenue in Elk Grove Village, just west of O'Hare Airport. Look for the iconic windmill out front or go to bertoltsgardencenter.com. Bertolt's. Get green, let's get growing.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
This town may feature a famous river, iconic almost, but that doesn't mean you want to see one in your basement. Tired of watching your perennials wash out into the parkway? See the folks at Lake Street Supply and find everything you need to manage your rainwater, pumps, storage, filtration, and accessories. Stormwater runoff is a serious problem in Chicago, causing physical damage as well as posing potential health risks. But that water is also one of our most valuable resources. Lake Street Supply has green roof products to help you catch those precious drops as soon as they land, and they stock permeable surfaces so your rainwater doesn't become wastewater. Speaking of permeable pavers, Lake Street Supply is also an authorized Unilock dealer. Unilock, designed to connect. Visit Lake Street Supply to find out more about how you can manage your own rainwater. They're really good people and they will show you a lot. You can also go there for the materials you need to tackle any of your landscaping challenges. For hours and directions, go to lakestreetsupply.com and be sure to like them on Facebook. Lake Street Supply, a thoughtful approach to landscape supply. I see your who's the Twitter. Is that you, Sarah, doing Show No Mercy to the bed bugs there? Somebody retweeted that. This is both of you. Who else is tweeting out there?
We're,
Rob?
We're doubled.
Oh, you guys are double teaming the Twitter account. Okay, great. Rob and Sarah. All right. We just got a couple of minutes here. First of all, before we do the jingle, because I want people to be really prepared for that and to strap themselves down and make sure that they don't have food in their mouths and things like that, okay? Where do you get Kiltronics?
Okay, I just want to say a couple things before I say that quickly.
Yeah.
And that is, this is a 24/7 solution, because once you put the fabric down, it's going to stay there forever, and it's guaranteed forever. Once
I thought bed bugs worked 9 to 5.
Yeah, well, no, not really.
Okay.
In the middle of the night when you're sleeping, you don't even know they bite you.
All right.
So, and insurance companies are going to cover this, too, because
when you say they're going to cover that, what
does
that mean?
It's cheaper than litigation, so a lot of insurance companies are going to start, because even pest control companies are getting sued now. Everybody's
because
getting
sued. Because
the liability issue. So building owners are under liable. This has a million-dollar policy which covers building owners against suit.
Uh-huh.
For this. We can talk about that. If somebody calls me, I'll tell them about it.
Oh, really?
But it's forever.
So once you... okay. So you basically, that's your guarantee on the
bottom. Guarantee that the fabric will last forever. Bed bugs will die as long as it's there, or they'll replace it.
I'll be darned.
Okay. It works.
All right, so where do folks get this? That's what I want to know.
Well, since
you are a dealer.
We're the factory rep.
Are you involved in this as well?
I've become involved, and the first place that I went to, of course, was the assisted living, because now it's very personal.
Yeah.
And my mission for Green Building Connections, anyway, is to connect all businesses and organizations with third-party certifications as well as green products. And this is as green as it gets.
That's good for me. I appreciate that. I'm glad to hear that.
Come to me. Contact me, and I'll set
up. So, how many dealers places?
They can anywhere in the country. They can come to me, and I'll set them up. And I've got dealers in Chicago, distributors that work with me.
That's what I guess I meant.
And
distributors
is one
of the product. I mean, you're not going to get this in a retail store, right?
But we will have retail products, though. Will be some. You're going to see them in stores,
though.
Right?
But that's coming up. So in the meantime, you want to go to...
We have purses, we have backpacks, we have suitcases. All these stuff's going to be treated with Kiltronics. We'll have all that stuff.
And to start...
Call me.
APlusPest.com. You can go to www.APlusPest.com or call Rick. What's the first number here?
847-676-3477.
Okay. And he will have more information about this. All right. Everybody, are we all girding our loins here?
Or email me at rick@apluspest.com.
Okay, rick@apluspest.com, and you can find out more about this. And he might do this to you on the phone or in person if you show up. And it goes something
only
like...
Only you, Mike.
Yeah, I know.
Do your bed bugs lose their life on the bedpost overnight? Only with Kiltronics do they disappear from sight. The tested proven system that eliminates the pest. So folks, I guarantee you'll finally get a good night's rest. Short version. Kiltronics fabric. Kiltronics fabric. Kiltronics, that's the system that kills the bed bugs. Once again, not Kiltronics fabric. Kiltronics fabric. Kiltronics, that's the system that kills the bed bugs. We do it like we live there. Remember?
As Spike Odell used to say, you ain't getting this up and down the dial, folks. Thank you so much, all of you, for stopping by. Kay Karish, George Manning, and, of course, the inimitable Rick Moskovitz. If you want more information, go to it's all up on my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show, and you will find it there. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Is your tree losing leaves? Are there insects on the leaves? Speaking of insects, are the leaves turning brown, or do they have holes in them? Are there fewer leaves this year than there used to be? Are the flowers not blooming? Many of these issues could be due to insect and disease problems with your tree, and I'll bet you aren't that good at diagnosing those problems yourself. The first line of defense against pests and diseases is your tree's health. The healthier a tree or shrub, the better able it will be to fend off pests and diseases. If you want to talk to a certified arborist at the Care of Trees about any of these issues, I have a phone number for you, 800-508-9466, 800-508-9466. 9466, write it down and call that number for a free consultation. If you call today, they're not in the office today, but if you call today, leave a message and your call will be returned tomorrow. To set up an appointment, one of the certified arborists at the Care of Trees, give them a call. 800-508-9466 or go to thecareoftrees.com. The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
This is Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM, presenting your world news update.
Yeah, we're not going to do that yet. Okay, we'll just hang on to that for a second. We'll do world news update after Rick DeMaio. Have you seen Chalet Nursery's facelift and tummy tuck for the 2013 season yet? The nursery gate and floor plan were redesigned to make your experience there even more memorable. What's really memorable, though, is the selection of plants that you will have the minute you walk into the garden center. Jennifer Brennan, horticultural information specialist at Chalet, and my co-host on Dig In Chicago, advises you to check out their new shipment of subtropical patio plants as well as their stunning roses. And if you're ready to get your vegetable garden started, and it's not too late, Chalet has a great selection of edibles and herbs. Now would be a good time to register for their Ladies Night Out on June 13th. In partnership with the Wilmette Fire Department, a portion of the night's proceeds will go to the Illinois Fire Safety Alliance's Camp I Am Me for burn victims. Registration is now available at ChaletNursery.com. Chalet is located in Wilmette at the corner of Skokie Boulevard and Lake Avenue, just 10 minutes north of the Eden's Kennedy Junction. Go to ChaletNursery.com. And Chalet is a proud sponsor of Dig In Chicago. Let us go immediately to the phone line. Let's bring in Ricky D. What happened to summer, Rick?
Well, you know, Mike, this is Chicago. When June approaches, we go back a month.
I guess so.
It kind of crept up on us yesterday, didn't it, June 1st?
It crept up on us, and it was warm, and it seemed like spring. And then I'm hearing that we're going to get only as high as the 50s today or something like that.
Oh, yeah. And you know what, Mike? It's amazing because as kind of spring-like as it was yesterday, it really wasn't what we typically have from a meteorological standpoint. I mean, the numbers bore out, a typical early June day, you know, high 76, lows in the lower 60s. But, you know, you had all this lower stratocumulus cloud cover in the morning, you know, windy conditions. The sun came out for about 2 hours and everybody went, hooray. and then the rain came back and it's like, my God, is it raining again? And, in some places, Mike, downstate central Illinois, since the first of March, if we want to call it the climatological spring, I'm not going to get into meteorological spring, but, central Illinois has had over 20 to 22 inches of rain. And, you know, those are record numbers. I mean, we've never seen this much rain before, in certain parts of the Midwest and the Chicagoland area. In fact, officially for O'Hare, 15.64 inches of rain from the period of March 1st through May 31st, and again, we call that climatological spring, that's 6 inches above normal, and it made it the third wettest ever in the history of Chicago, obviously coming off, you know, the wettest April on record. We followed up with a fairly wet May with rainfall officially at O'Hare of 5 inches, but, Mike, there were some areas, particularly to the south and west of the city, that got well over 8 inches, and you know, then you followed up with cool, damp weather, and it doesn't really give the ground a chance to dry out much.
Yeah, so it's just, and it's relentless. Is this going to stop for a little bit anyway?
No, and you know, you used a good word there, relentless. I mean, you got up yesterday morning, you went, oh my God, another gray day. I mean, where did this come from? And then this morning, actually, about 6 a.m., I think you were probably up about that time. It wasn't bad out, was it?
No. Not at all.
And then all of a sudden the wind shift came through. That was the second front that we were all expecting. And, by as early as, 7 o'clock, the wind had shifted around to the northeast. You look out on Lake Michigan, there's 4-foot waves, there's white caps, the visibility is a half mile, the cloud cover is down to about, 500 feet. And, people living along the lakefront won't get above 52, 53 degrees today, and inland readings probably won't make, break 57. And you're talking now, Mike, you're talking 20 degrees below normal, all due to the fact that Lake Michigan, that South Buoy, and I always stress that's what we have to talk about, not what you hear on the radio when they say the Lake Michigan water temperature is 54. That's pretty much the reading right at Navy Pier. That 43-degree Lake Michigan water temperature at the South Buoy, which is generally east of Milwaukee, and then you got the one up north, which is off the coast of Door County. That's still measuring only 40 degrees in the water temperature, Mike. In Lake Superior, it's only in the upper 30s.
Wow.
So you don't, it's only 38 degrees, two different buoys. You don't warm up much when you have, pattern, consistently, northeast winds. So only, only lower 50s today, and then probably only mid-50s on the lakefront tomorrow. And inland readings, still not breaking 70 degrees until Wednesday. And then we get right back into a wet pattern for Wednesday and Thursday. So this week, you can basically draw a line across it and say summer has still not arrived yet in Chicago.
Unbelievable. So is this the cool lake temperatures, could that affect us all summer long?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, you look at the volume of the Great Lakes, and you look at the surface area, and the fact that we've been in such a cold, cloudy pattern, particularly across the northern half of the Great Lakes. Anytime you drive a front down the south end of the lake, we get cold. So the bottom line is, and also is when you try to develop a, a long-range Midwest national pattern to push this warmer air northward across the lakes, it just doesn't happen. And this is probably one of the reasons, I still don't think we have enough research on this, probably one of the reasons why the pattern is such that you keep developing these big troughs in the Midwest. I mean, look what happened to the poor people of Oklahoma over this past weekend.
Yeah.
Another EF3 tornado, 9 fatalities. And people said, I heard someone say, oh, it happens down there a lot. You know what? Not in late May. Late May, that tornado pattern is generally north of Oklahoma City. So even for them, this is pretty much kind of abnormal for this late in the year. So bottom line in the last minute that we have here, generally dry weather today. I mean, we had a couple of sprinkles come through, but other than that, we're done with the rain. But still, you want to do anything outdoors, you're freezing. It's cold out. So lower 50s lakefront today, mid-50s lakefront tomorrow, mid-50s inland today. We'll cloud up. Well, we'll keep the clouds over us tonight. Some sun tomorrow, a beautiful day on Tuesday. I think tomorrow afternoon looks great. Another good day on Tuesday, but still very cool on the lakefront. And then back to some more rain Wednesday and Thursday. And, Mike, it looks like another wet pattern locks in for Friday and Saturday of next week. So the grass is green. The trees look great. And the farmers are probably happy, but I think they need their fields dried a little bit. But otherwise, the pattern does not look like it's going to change this week.
And a little heat for our tomatoes might not hurt. But that's in the future, I hope.
Yeah, I think so, but a long ways away from this standpoint.
All right, Rick, thanks. I appreciate it. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, take care, Mike.
All right. In the second hour, Jerry Adelman from Open Lands talk about their 50-year anniversary.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Alsip Home and Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. And by Birchold's Floral Gift and Garden Center. Get green. Let's get growing. Here he is again, Mike Novak. And we don't make no collections. I want you to join
together in the band. Ladies and gentlemen, we have computer. Our engine is back up, so we can right this ship and see if we can coast into a three-point landing later on. Well, thank you, Denny. We got the computer up and running finally, so I can see what's being posted. Not that I got my folks here in the room, and they are.
Why, you don't trust us?
No, I completely trust you. That's why I don't have to look. I got Sarah and Carol and Rob, and they take care of the Twitter and the Facebook. I've been looking at some really interesting stuff there. I liked Zan's tweet when we were talking about, because we just had Rick DeMaio weather, and Rick was talking about the rains we've had, and coming off a year ago when we had drought, and now we've got this, And Zan puts it in perspective. She says it's not global warming or global cooling. It's never seen this fill in the blank weather. That is the climate change mantra. And she's right. It's basically never seen this before. And we keep getting this never seen this before stuff.
You know what, Mike? I have to say that Blake Davis gave his 50-year survival plan for climate change talk on Tuesday night. And that was one of the things that he said. He said wide swings in climate variability. So you're going to get drought and it's going to be more severe and more extreme.
And Jerry, you're there too. Jerry Adelman is in the studio,
by the way. Just recently I heard Tom Friedman give a talk, and he's calling it now global weirding. But just to this point, I mean, these extremes, unpredictable, and clearly that's what's happening. It's scary.
And Blake Davis, of course, was on the show in January, and you got to go to the talk?
No, we had our Master Gardener meeting that night. We had recognized our graduates, but some of the folks did go and reported back. And I think his discussion is going to be posted on the Chicago Bioneers webpage.
That was hosted by Chicago Bioneers, I believe. Yeah, because he originally did the talk for the Bioneers conference in November, last November. Then he was on the show, and Jerry, have you heard Blake Davis speak?
I have not.
Yeah. All right, because he's working with the plant on the south side.
I mean, I know the name, but I've never heard of him.
And he's from IIT and working with John Adel at the plant on the south side. And he has this talk called the 50-Year Survival Plan for Climate Change. And I wouldn't say it's dystopian, but it's not particularly encouraging to think what he says. And I know this is of interest to you because these are the kinds of things you're dealing with in open lands. It's a part of the reason you preserve the land is to preserve our planet the way it is and mitigate some of the effects of development, encroaching development. But Blake has this theory that it's all going to go downhill for the next 50 years. And even right now, he says the next 10 years will have the illusion of being business as usual. But meanwhile, the markets will be skidding. I mean, regardless of what you see on Wall Street right now. And it's going to and then suddenly the bottom will fall out and it's going to get a little crazy. And you can believe it or you cannot believe it. I happen to think that if we don't take action and we don't have more people like you on the planet and more people who like the ones who work for open lands, we're going to be in big trouble. I think we're already in a heap of trouble. And I don't mean to scare people on a Sunday morning here. We want to be positive because you're celebrating 50 years at open lands and the great work you've done there. But we're not working hard enough. That probably makes you sweat a little bit, you know.
No, I think it's absolutely true, and clearly our political leaders have to have more backbone. I think
All right.
I mean, there's things we can do as individuals, and we all should.
Well,
there's no question because cumulatively it makes a difference. It also creates a culture, you know, of caring and concern. Mm-hmm. But in the big picture, you know, if we don't have leadership at the policy level, local, state, and obviously national, and then global, you know, we're in big trouble.
I think that's absolutely right. And you know, you will hear people say, well, the politicians can't do it if they don't have the directive from their constituents. The constituents, I think, have been pretty clear on it.
Yeah.
And I think it's obstruction, pure and simple. It's a handful of backward thinking people who think that we can just turn the clock back and go to where we were in the 1920s or wherever they want to go, including what has happened to the planet, including the amount of carbon dioxide we've pumped into the atmosphere. Yeah. We can't go back there. No. We have to move forward.
I think you know that for 20-some years I've done volunteer work through Columbia University in New York and China, mainly the Southwest and Yunnan Province, which is a very culturally and naturally rich place. But it's interesting, the recent 18th Party Congress, you know, one of the five major priorities is the environment. And suddenly there's a lot more transparency. We're hearing about, you know, air quality issues, which are unbearable and so forth. So, you know, things can change. Now, will it in China? I don't know. But at least it's on the radar screen. There's far more transparency than there ever had been. So that to me is...
But that's a relative term there, isn't it?
Very. No question. And I'm not putting that up as a model. I'm just saying that we're seeing some change at the highest levels in terms of people can't stick their heads in the sand. We've got to deal with these issues.
Well, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but you know, I've read about this too, it's not going to do any good to point fingers at China, even though there's more than a billion people and they contribute a lot to this, especially as they move forward with their industry. But the United States, you know,
we've got to show the leadership.
Yeah, we're not showing leadership. No. Come on, and I don't want to drag you into a political discussion here because. But, you know, I'm the radio guy, so I get to do
that. That's your role.
That's my role. And
challenging.
I hope so. I don't know.
Always.
But my feeling right now is there's no reason in hell for Barack Obama to approve the Keystone XL pipeline. I don't see any reason at all except to cave into industry. And regardless of where the oil would tar sands oil would be going and where the money's going, it's a symbol. It's a symbol of something. And we need a symbol right now to show that we are taking the lead in the world on this. And if nothing else, rejecting the Keystone XL pipeline sends that message to the world. And that's my personal opinion on it, is that if you don't do that, not only have you not sent a message, you have caved completely on your promises. And, you know, then we have to, you know, and it's like you said earlier, we don't have the political will, we have nothing. So, and I have to bring this up as well. You got sucked into this vortex, Jerry. By the way, that's Jerry Adelman, who's the president and CEO of Openlands, just so you know. And he is my punching bag at the moment. No, you're not. I would never do that. But we have to take a second here, because I know people listening are wondering, and I know Dick Kaye talked about this a little bit yesterday, which is the passage of the fracking regulatory bill in Illinois. The moratorium obviously did not get passed. It never really had the support of the General Assembly. So for those folks who thought it was going to happen, all I know is from what I hear from my folks, the people I talk to, and they said, well, that really wasn't going to happen, and that's why we really had to do the regulatory bill. And, you know, if you see the headlines say it's going to be the strictest set of rules in the country, and that's a good thing. But the problem is, how lax have the rules been elsewhere? And so it's a relative thing as well. Just to let you know, I will be talking about this on the show, not today, because I had Jerry book and I had other folks booked here, and I don't have the time to go into this. But I am going to bring some of the people into the studio who were involved in those negotiations and discussions about what the bill should be. And we need to talk about
that. And, Mike, one very positive thing that came out of the legislature, which you may be aware of, but is finally, after 7 years, they approved this recreational liability bill.
And I'm glad you brought that up.
Those protections had been taken away from private property owners who would open up their land to the public for hiking, biking, bird watching, hunting, fishing, whatever. And the hunting and fishing side got protection, but the rest were taken away. Strange history.
That's just
But anyway, it's now been reestablished.
And weren't we the only state that didn't have that protection? Or something like that, or close to that?
You know, I don't know that, to be honest. Uh-huh. I'm sure Lenore Beyer-Clough, our policy director, could tell you if we were. But anyway, it was, I think, a huge victory. It takes us back to where we were, but at least we're there.
But
and that's
the point is that people who are birding, who are hiking, and they're on private land can feel that they've not risking their livelihoods and their lives.
Well, it's not so much that. It's also the private property owner who allows
the
them
the property.
That's really the direction more. And so, you know, obviously there are some wonderful private lands adjacent to public holdings along our rivers and streams and forests and so forth that people have been willing in the past to make available. This mm-hmm. is also true for not-for-profits. So, for instance, we have this over a mile of Lake Michigan shoreline, you know, the southern part of the former Fort Sheridan, our Openlands Lakeshore Preserve.
Which is wonderful.
And thank you. it would be as true for us as it was for a private property owner, a farmer, or whatever, who would make his land available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I did get that wrong. But it's the protection to the property owners, and you want to encourage property owners to let these people on their lands to enjoy this.
Absolutely.
Because, let's face it, not all the beautiful sites in the state are public.
No, nor are they permanently protected. And so, you know, this fits into that kind of mosaic of what are the lands that we have, public and private? How do we use them? How do we care for them? What kind of accessibility do they have? You want to create incentives for private property owners to be good stewards, to protect and restore their land, but also, where appropriate, to make it available to the public.
So now those private property owners can allow people on and not risk their
being sued
and so forth. Now, you talked about this mosaic that leads us right into Hackmatack.
Yes.
Which you open lands. And we're going to get to the 50th anniversary celebration in it. But this is all part of it. This is all part of what open lands does. And the Hackmatack National Wildlife Refuge, which was signed into law a year ago, November, right? I think.
I don't even think it was that.
Was it just this past year?
It was this past year.
It was just this past year.
I know how time passes.
I know. I just thought, oh my goodness. No, you're right. It's this past year.
Yeah.
I guess that's part of that mosaic.
2012, I think, is when it was established.
That's right. You're right.
Yeah. So
it seems like forever. Oh my goodness. It seems like forever, but it hasn't been. But that's part of that whole mosaic idea that you have public and private and you work together.
Yeah, a shared vision, really. And, you know, we, as a metropolitan area, this is kind of the greater Milwaukee, Rockford, Chicago area, had no National Wildlife Refuge. So this is significant in many ways in terms of, you know, bringing resources to this huge metropolitan population, the largest between the coasts. And hopefully bringing a spirit of partnership, public and private. So this will be a mosaic of lands, existing public holdings that County Forest Preserve, state, and other entities have, but also with a strategy to link them through trails and add additional lands. Only willing sellers, you know, so this is a very,
you're not snapping up all the land, you're also working with
private property owners, encouraging easements, encouraging you know, restoration and protection of those lands. So it's a strategy, really, to think at a landscape scale and to recognize that this area, sort of northern Illinois, mainly McHenry County, going up into Wisconsin towards Lake Geneva, that there's just an amazing landscape there of threatened and endangered species, but spectacular scenery, recreational opportunities, you know, extraordinary habitat, and that this frames all of this important land in a way that we can think about it as a system and what's needed, you know, in terms of acquisition, in terms of private management and so forth.
Was this a completely new idea? Because unlike other refuges, you couldn't just grab a section of land and say, okay, we're protecting that. You had to negotiate with people and figure out, okay, this parcel might work and that parcel might work. Where else has that model been done in the country?
Well, I think actually a number of the wildlife refuges have similar characteristics. And again, it's not the federal government coming in buying everything up. There's no condemnation. It doesn't change underlying zoning and so forth. So that's part of the system, the approach. This all started really around a kitchen table in McHenry County. Concerned citizens who said, you know, we've got something special here, and how do we elevate it? You know, how do we escalate our preservation efforts? How do you bring value added? And so that's where it really started. And I don't know that, you know, with the other national wildlife refuges around the country, how many of them had such a grassroots beginning. But clearly, that was the case here.
I always say that the people, there must be something in the water in McHenry County. They're such good conservationists. And I think it also has to do with it's one of the last areas to be developed in this region.
True. And Lenore, I mentioned before, Lenore Beyer-Clough, our policy director, lives in McHenry County and has been very involved there. So it was a great convergence of, you know, her relationships and passion for that land and her role heading, you know, our policy work as a regional player to partner then with McHenry County Conservation District, a whole slew of not-for-profits and Sierra Club and others, you know, who this broad coalition that made it happen, public and private, really extraordinary.
But all these people working together, but it seems to me that getting open lands behind it as well is, one of the things that you've been able to do as an organization and over the years, and I have the feeling it's due to your leadership since 1980, at least in part, is leverage some of these things with you're able to sometimes temporarily buy land and then lease it back or sell it back. And, you know, just being able to work things that way has been a great boon to conservation in the area.
Well, it's really a hallmark of the organization from its very founding back in 1963. You know, we were created as a project. We were called originally Open Lands Project of the Welfare Council of Metropolitan Chicago. Unlikely place when you think, you know, conservation group. But there were people who realized that because of trends in Illinois and nationally, you know, the GI Bill, the Highway Act, and so forth, that larger tracts of land were being open to sort of haphazard development without much coordination. And northeastern Illinois has more units of local government than any other metropolitan area in the country. Well, when you add in then Wisconsin and Indiana, you know, the southern shore of Lake Michigan, it's kind of Tower of Babel. So there was very little coordination. There were no groups in the country or only a couple that focused on conservation in a metropolitan area. We're real pioneers in that sense. And when you think back to the time, I mean, you know, a year before, Rachel Carson publishes Silent Spring. I mean, it's kind of the birth of the environmental movement. But it was connecting people to land. It was looking at quality of life. I mean, concern about the environment in and of itself, but also the impacts on our lives and how it enriches the lives and that all people should have access to nature close to where they live, be it a community garden or, you know, a wildlife refuge out in the fringes. And so open lands knew as a small little group that it could only get its work done by working in partnership. So I think the Hackmatack model you see replicated as you go back in time, countless projects, I&M Canal, National Heritage Corridor, the old Plank Road Trail, Indiana Dunes National Lakeshore was one of the early things that we got involved with, you know, again, working with many partners, sometimes in the lead, often, not always, but there, you know, on the front lines, you know, working to make it happen.
We're going to have to break in a second, but maybe this is not a fair question, but how is it that you separate yourselves, Open Lands, from other conservation groups and even other groups like the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning and Sierra Club and other organizations out there? What is it at the core of Open Lands that sets you apart?
Well, first of all, we predate a lot of those groups. We're not-for-profit, so CMAP, of course, is government, as an example. But we look comprehensively at this kind of green space system for our three-state metropolitan area. So that web of green that ties us together, we look at all dimensions of that, you know, from a community garden or a recreational park to a hiking biking trail to, you know, large reserves to restoring wetlands and other natural resources. But again, that kind of web of green that ties us all together. We deal with the policy side of it, the advocacy side. We pioneer programs that illustrate things. So we have this comprehensive, you know, metropolitan vision, if you want, and work at all these different scales. We work in partnership, though. So, you know, we were a founding member of Chicago Wilderness, which now is, what, about 270 agencies, organizations, institutions, you know, working in this region along the southern shore of Lake Michigan. So we work in partnership always, but we do have kind of a unique niche in that we weave all those little pieces together and big pieces, you know, into a comprehensive vision for the metropolitan area as a whole.
That answers it pretty well. Okay, that is Jerry Adelman, who's the president and CEO of Open Lands. If you got a, if you want to say hi or a happy anniversary to Jerry, or talk about something that Open Lands has done, 773-763-9278. We'll be back with him in just a sec. Now, have you gotten your vegetables planted yet? I know what you're thinking, and you probably heard Rick DeMaio's forecast and said, "Well, the season's already over." And I'm thinking, are you nuts? Now is the time to get over to Alsip Home and Nursery in Frankfort, Illinois, in St. John, Indiana, and stock up on those veggies and herbs. Reduced summer pricing on annuals just started yesterday.
You can get as much as 50% off some of their legendary planters. For instance, combination baskets regularly $29.99 are now $24.97. And through the end of the day tomorrow, Monday, you can get 20% off upright combo pots. Fresh annuals arrive every day, and Alsip has a fabulous selection of tropics for your porch or patio. So stop by the place that was voted first place for best garden nursery store in Northwest Indiana and Illinois, too, in the Times of Northwest Indiana Best of Region voting. That's Alsip Home and Nursery, located in Frankfort, Illinois, on Route 45, just 2 miles south of Route 80, I-80, and in St. John, Indiana, on Route 41, 4 miles south of Route 30.
Make this your best gardening season yet. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. Invest a bit of time now to ensure a bountiful harvest and beautiful landscape throughout the season. And let Milorganite, an eco-friendly, all-purpose fertilizer, help you accomplish your gardening goals. Start by adding several inches of organic matter to the top 6 to 12 inches of soil. Peat moss, compost, and other organic materials improve drainage in heavy clay soil and increase the water-holding ability of sandy soils. Incorporate Milorganite organic nitrogen fertilizer into all your planting beds. The low nitrogen formula makes it goof-proof so you won't harm young, tender plants. The slow-release formula provides small amounts of fertilizer over time, encouraging overall growth without preventing flowering and fruiting. And properly prepared soil will help your plantings better survive the heat, drought, and pest attacks of summer. So choose Milorganite for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com to find a store near you.
Okay, you got to ask Rob or Sarah. I see a tweet here about who coined global weirding. Hunter Levins, is that it? Or Levins? Hunter Levins, co-founder of Rocky Mountain Institute.
Yep, yep.
Okay.
It could be, I mean, as I said, Tom Friedman used it, so that's where I first heard it.
Yeah. So, well, you know, it when it becomes popular, yep, you know, yep, somebody's got to copyright it if they want to get their nickel for it. Bring your plants and flowers to life with Dr. Earth's Life Fertilizer. This all-purpose organic blend is great for every plant in your garden. It releases essential nutrients over the long haul and even promotes disease resistance. Dr. Earth's Life Fertilizer is ideal for use in raised beds during transplanting and can also be used to spot treat lawns. Doctor Your Earth with Dr. Earth, the root of organic integrity. Visit DrEarth.com to find a dealer near you. Like them on Facebook for organic tips and updates.
I'm Jennifer Brennan, the smart one.
And I'm Mike Novak, the pretty one.
We're the co-hosts of Dig In Chicago,
Chicago Television's only local gardening and cooking show.
And we're thrilled to be back for our second season offering gardening tips and tours.
Plus local chefs and local dishes.
Saturday mornings at 8:30.
And this year we're on the U2 channel, 26.2.
See you there. I've got to go check the soil pH.
Oh, I just got beet juice on my khakis.
Gosh, I hate it when you get beet juice on the khakis. That's just horrible. Double toil and no more pest troubles. Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew from Bonide is an organic way to protect plants from critters like caterpillars, beetles, spider mites, borers, and more without having to cast any spells. And you don't want to say that room or say that name in a theater either. Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew is not only effective on all types of pests, but it's ready to spray directly on your affected plant. This Bonide product is available in quart ready to use, quart ready to spray with a hose end sprayer attachment for easy application, and a concentrate if you prefer to mix your own. Always, always read and follow label directions. Please do that for me. You can get Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew at Alsip Home and Garden in Frankfort, Illinois, and St. John, Indiana, Atrium Garden Center in Lake Zurich, Illinois, Village Green locations in Rockford, or go to Bonide.com to find a retailer near you and download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid.
Sing it, Sarah. Come on. You can sing along with that. All right. I have to tell you this. Before we get back to Jerry Adelman, I was listening to the radio the other day, and somebody mentioned Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros. And my friend Max said, oh, I have no idea who that is. I said, yes, you do. She says, no, I don't. I said, yes, you do. If you've heard this song, you know, which is like everywhere. I said, you know, you just don't know the name. You know, of course, Kathleen says, oh, that's really good. Tell somebody that their memory is you know, that they don't know at all what they're talking about. But
well, you know, Mike, that's a little bit like open lands. You go to Volo Bog, you go to the Prairie Path, you visit Goose Lake Prairie. You know, so many sites throughout our region, you don't connect it with open lands. We're kind of invisible that way, which isn't bad. But because we don't own and manage these sites that we've advocated for, in some cases actually purchased but passed on, as you indicate, to, you know, public agencies, you see the result of our work, you experience it, but you don't necessarily connect it to us.
You know, that's a really good point, and I don't Well, let me just say, does that create an image problem for you? Do you think?
Well,
because you are so much behind the scenes.
We are. And I think...
I mean, you're behind tree keepers as
right.
well. I'm a tree keeper. You've got garden keepers. You've
right.
got all these different things that you do, these wonderful programs.
Well, thanks to people like you, I think the word is getting out that it's Open Lands who does these things. But we are a well-kept secret in some ways. We aren't a household name necessarily, but we've been around 50 years and we've played a really pioneering role. I feel so honored to be connected with this organization. And so many of the causes that we take on, our policy efforts, as well as site-specific you know, programs that lead to protecting these wonderful spaces and creating them as you know, assets for the general public, people don't make the connection necessarily. We've given birth to a lot of groups. You know, in 1971, Lake Michigan Federation was launched as the Alliance for Great Lakes. In 1988, after 10 years being with us as a special program, Friends of the Chicago River went independent. Canal Corridor Association, a group that I founded in 1982 to provide leadership along the 100-mile I&M Canal National Heritage Corridor, to name a few.
Mm-hmm.
So we've given birth, you know, to a number of important projects, but also organizations.
Well, you also aid organizations, and for instance, the Chicago Recycling Coalition, which I'm president of. You let us come into your boardroom and have our meetings. Now, I can't tell you how much we appreciate it because we don't have our own clubhouse.
And we do that all the time, and we see that that's an appropriate role. You know, we're located right down the loop. It's kind of easy to get there. You can come by various public transportation. We haven't not a fancy conference room, but a fine conference room.
It's just fine. Believe me.
And so we host, you know, groups all the time. And we feel that, you know, as an umbrella kind of for this region, looking at all dimensions, again, of open space, land and water, you know, recognizing that nature is important to all people wherever they live. Well, we want to make sure that we're a partner and that we also support other efforts, grassroots and partner organizations, you know, throughout the metropolitan area.
One of the ways you can tell how effective and important you are is every year Open Lands has a luncheon. I believe in October.
Yep, this year, October 25th, it'll be at the Hilton Hotel.
Okay, give it a plug.
Avenue.
Go for
hey,
it.
Yeah.
Wait. There you go. There's your plug.
Okay, good. October 25th at the Chicago Hilton.
Who's speaking?
We have Dr. Michael Suk, who is a medical doctor but has been a leader nationally in park prescriptions and in talking about the role that nature plays in wellness and human well-being. We're really showcasing that connection to health and wellness that our parks and natural areas provide and how important it is, you know, in so many ways, early childhood development, obesity, diabetes, psychological health, reducing violence, a whole range of things. So he's our speaker. We're honoring Judith Stockdale. We felt it was very appropriate in our 50th year. Judith had been executive director of Open Lands, went on then a very illustrious career in the environmental arena, working in the Chicago Community Trust, the first director of the Great Lakes Protection Fund. And now for 18 years, she just retired from that position as director of the Gaylord and Dorothy Donnelly Foundation. It has been such an important funder of so many conservation efforts here and in the Lowcountry of South Carolina. So she's our honoree. But, you know, it's going to be a reunion. We're inviting former staff and board. And, in fact, the night before, for our family, our immediate family, board and staff, past and present, one of our board members is hosting a dinner. And then we're just hoping that, you know, all of our partners and friends, you know, will be with us on the 25th.
Well, what I was going to say is that every year, that's a place where environmentalists gather and they schmooze.
Yeah. 800 people last
800
year.
People
in a,
I know. It's unbelievable. And, yeah. And we're... We love being there, and I, you know, I come because usually I get invited by a group. It's, hey, you want to sit at our table?
Don't worry, you will.
It's like, I have to glom on to somebody's table usually. But it's amazing how many people I know in the room. Yeah. I'm always...
It's kind of the reunion of the conservation community in so many ways, you know, from throughout the metropolitan area, and... People from different backgrounds,
and it's also,
public, private.
And it's humbling because I can remember walking away last year from the luncheon and the speakers you had, and I thought, oh, what have I done with my life?
Oh, God, no.
These people are just the movers, and the things they've accomplished are so unbelievable.
Mike, look at what you do. And I don't say have done because you continue to do it, but what a voice, you know, in our region, and we thank you for it.
Well, it's a pleasure to have people like you on the show so we can get the word out, which takes us to your 50th anniversary celebration, which is going to be at this wonderful place that you just started. I love the idea that you're coming right back to the Openlands Lakeshore Preserve to do your 50th.
Well, yeah, and it's a little misleading because we're doing many things in the 50th year. That's
right.
A kind of very high-end, you know, a fundraiser. We
want to
raise funds for our wonderful thing. I'm not discouraged. It's going to be a great event.
Yeah.
June 15th. Songs of Praise, we're calling it, and it's going to be a very interesting program, a really special thing. But we've had a variety of things going on during this year that will continue and really culminating with our luncheon. So all of those things celebrate our 50th. This just is a you know, kind of a special milestone.
Well, okay, well, let's talk a little bit about that as the special milestone, and then some of the other things that that are going to be happening this year. You're going to have a dinner, and like you said, it's kind of high end. You know,
it is, and you know, it's opportunity for corporations, and wealthy individuals, and so forth.
But you
to
know
support
what?
Us and,
I think about that as I was putting this together, and I thought, well, yeah. I can't really afford this, but but on the other hand, I want you guys to continue doing what you do, which is why you do things
and,
like
and
this.
And, you know, you look at, you know, various cultural institutions and environmental groups and so forth, too, and so many of them do have a very high-end ball, or they have, you know, whatever, Friends of the Park says their big ball, for instance, and so forth. And so we typically don't do that. We just have our luncheon. We try to keep the price relatively reasonable, you know, and we invite many of our partners and friends as well. But this, we thought for the anniversary was a special time and to do something that is more high end. And
why not?
You know, yeah.
And you're going to be on a bluff.
Oh, it's a spectacular setting. I mean, you know our Lakeshore Preserve.
Yeah.
I mean, this is over a mile of Lake Michigan shoreline, three ravines, these bluffs, the upland area. And it would not be protected but for us. I mean, to Senator Kirk's credit, when he was congressman, the southern part of the fort was going to be redeveloped, and he contacted us. He said, we're going to redevelop it for Navy housing, market rate housing. It was the non-historic part. We had been involved in the early 90s in making sure that the historic part of the fort to the north, that almost 700 acres of land remained in the public domain. It got transferred to the Lake County Forest Preserve District. So help us find someone who can take it over. We turned to all the usual suspects. Everybody was supportive, said it has to be saved. But for various reasons, legitimate ones, they weren't in a position to do it. As you indicated, you know, we've saved tens of thousands of acres. We buy land, but we aren't permanent owners of it. We pass it on. So we went back to him and said, we can't find anyone. He said, well, if you don't take it, then this will be a gated community and we'll have high rises. And so little of our lakefront outside the city of Chicago is in the public domain, and almost none of the bluff and ravine. So with the northern Lake County Forest Preserve property, over 2 miles, you know, it's really spectacular.
It's unbelievable.
So we've been doing massive restoration, as you know, trail development. We've incorporated public art which is a very powerful way to kind of connect people. It's a special
place.
Think,
you know, that's a really good point, too. I think what is underestimated is how much you use art in your installations and in the projects that you sponsor. I love the idea of incorporating art.
And that's been a theme, you know, in the history of the organization, photographic exhibitions. I mean, many people saw Revealing Chicago, Terry Evans' wonderful show in Millennium Park. That might have been the highest profile. But we've done things at the Field Museum, at the Art Institute, and galleries, public art in our community gardens, murals, and other kinds of sculpture and so forth. But, you know, art and artists have a way of connecting with people that's very powerful. And not everybody relates, you know, to things in the same way. And so we've seen that that can be a vehicle that engages broader audiences, gives a point of entry, you know, into bigger themes about
and
our environment.
And it also, you know, art is so important in our lives. We need that grace note well to show how connected nature and art really are on a certain level in terms of our beings.
Right. And I think, you know, our society's become so fragmented and, you know, kind of narrowly focused, different special interests and so forth. You know, we want to incorporate nature into all aspects of our lives, and art is a dimension of that. The aesthetics are a dimension of that, and we need to have a more holistic vision, I think, of society as a whole and the relationship that humans and nature have together and the importance of that.
If you want more information about this, you can go to openlands.org and see the 50th anniversary celebration. As Jerry Adelman said, who is here, president and CEO, going on all year. The last thought before you leave, you must look at the region and recognize the urgency of doing what you do more than ever, because we're running out of open space and things that we can actually save. How's that going to manifest itself in the near future?
Well, as an organization, we just completed a strategic plan, and so we're kind of looking at that context and figuring out how we can build our capacity, but the capacity of society as a whole. And so I think, you know, there are various ways, but we need to inspire leadership at all levels, and we need to connect people to these important issues that we're facing. And so programs like yours are one vehicle, and it's really important. And increasingly, I think we just need to talk about these things, and we need to engage people, recognizing that they're the stewards, and that if we don't do things, it won't be there for future generations. In a very real sense, we're talking about losing the opportunity. So there's still some important things that we can do in terms of protecting land, making it accessible, restoring its function ecologically, and addressing these bigger societal issues of the environment that you touched on when we first opened.
Like I said, go to openlands.org. Jerry Adelman, always a pleasure to have. I love it when you come into the studio.
Well, it's a treat to be here.
He comes in with his briefcase, so I figure he's off to some other meeting probably from this. So thanks again, and we'll talk in the very near future.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Is there anybody who doesn't love butterflies and hummingbirds? Now, if you find somebody, please let me know. Anyway, you might want to head up to Platt Hill Nursery in Bloomingdale and Carpentersville on Saturday, June 8th for their Hummingbird and Butterfly Seminar at 10 a.m. Learn about the plants that will transform your yard into a butterfly and hummingbird sanctuary. Then on June 15th at the same time, that's 10 a.m., it's Shady Area Gardening. Shadier parts of the garden can be a bit trickier to find plants for, but there is a whole palette of wonderful specimens that will bring beauty to the shadowed parts of your garden. And you can get them, of course, at Platt Hill Nurseries, along with their exquisite selection of annuals, Gomphrena, Calibricoas. Did you know hummingbirds love them? And speaking of hummingbirds, they have supertunias, including trailing types, sun coleus, bacopas, even pink and blue bacopas, diamond frost euphorbia. It makes a great houseplant in the winter. I just found that out. You can take it indoors. And more. Platt Hill Nurseries on Randall Road, just 3 miles north of I-90, and on Lake Street, US 20, just 3 miles west of I-355. Go to PlattHillNursery.com or like them on Facebook. Platt Hill is a proud sponsor of Dig In Chicago.
Bonnie knows when you plant something, it keeps on giving. Growing from friend to neighbor to community.
Generations of gardeners have trusted Bonnie for fresh, healthy vegetable and herb plants. Rely on Bonnie for quality plants, help, and support. Bonnie, gardening with you since 1918. BonniePlants.com.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. All you have to do is look at the news videos of the past couple of weeks to know how much devastation can be caused in a short time. That's why you should have the Care of Trees phone number handy when bad weather hits. Sometimes your trees are the most vulnerable possessions on your property, and the risk to your safety increases when they fall on buildings, cars, and especially other trees. The Care of Trees has 24-hour emergency service. They will show up quickly, get the job done safely, and minimize further risk to your property and your loved ones. Talk to a certified arborist at the Care of Trees. Call 800-508-9466, 800-508-9466. Now write that down and call that number for a free consultation. If you call today, leave a message, and your call will be returned tomorrow. Or see thecareoftrees.com. The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
Hey, everybody. We're here at the Mike Novak Show taking photos in the studio, and Mike will be back on the mic right now.
See, I'm just having you fill there because we're doing photo ops here. When Jerry Edelman is in the room, you got to get a photo. Jerry, it's a pleasure. Take care now.
Mike, you take care.
All right. So thank you for covering there, Mr. Rob. Now, here we are, 2 days into June. So now's the time to get green and get growing at Bertolt's Garden Center in Elk Grove Village. First up, vegetables. Dr. Wally says that now is a good time to grab some Chef Jeff's herbs and veggies. And, of course, tomatoes. They have a little bit of everything, not to mention some great advice on how to grow them from Dr. Wally himself. However, if it's ornamentals you want, you can find some of the most reasonably priced select 4-inch annuals in the area. They also have tropicals like hibiscus, mandevilla, however you pronounce it, and citrus fruits. And check out these specials. Locally grown 3-gallon Karen azaleas, 5-gallon Cheyenne privet, and 3-gallon gold flame spirea, all $19.99 each. While you're there, take a look at the full line of natural and organic curatives and amendments that Bertolt's offers, including products from Dr. Earth, Espoma, Jonathan Green, and more. Bertolt's Garden Center is at 434 East Devon Avenue in Elk Grove Village, just west of O'Hare Airport. Look for the iconic windmill out front or go to bertoltsgardencenter.com, BERTHOLDS, gardencenter.com. Bertolt's, get green, let's get growing. And let's get right to the phone line and bring in Dr. Frederick Miller. How are you doing, Dr. Fred?
I'm doing well.
Can I call you just Fred?
Certainly. If you call me Freddy, I'll hang up. But other than that, we're good.
All right. Well, it's good to know which nicknames do not apply.
Yes.
As I mentioned earlier in the show, I don't know if you caught that, Fred. You've been you do all kinds of different things. For a while, you worked with Extension, and you were involved in the Master Gardener training that I took part in. I've stolen some of my best material from you. But now, you've been at Joliet Junior College. How long have you been there?
I joined the staff faculty there in 2000. So I had, like you mentioned, I had 16 years with the Cooperative Extension Service here in Illinois and then moved to Joliet in 2000. So a lot of years have passed.
Tell me about it. But now you're doing a really cool thing that, and I was glad that Art Scheel
was able to introduce me to. Art was on the program in the fall talking about cover crops. And he's from American Organic, and that link as the link to Joliet Junior College is on my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show. You're doing something called the, and I had it right in front of me, here we are, the Urban Agriculture Summer Institute. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes, well, we're at Joliet, we've been, past have been more of a traditional horticulture program, but we're wanting to expand that into the local foods and vegetable growing areas as well as tree fruits, and so kind of piggyback on the local foods popularity and the movement that's going on, we're offering a summer institute for junior and seniors in high school as well as seniors that have graduated and actually can extend into the first couple of years of college, where students will have the opportunity to come down to our land lab there on campus and work in a number of different areas. I have four students right now that have are going to commit to this, two from high school, two from college, and we can offer programs in hydroponics, growing plants, particularly vegetables and small fruits in high tunnels. We have a small agroforestry plot, which we're going to be developed and is continuing to develop, where we're going to be working with Art Sheely on the cover crop project, looking at the effects of that on pest and disease issues, as well as how that affects vegetable production, all that sort of thing. We do have a small vineyard. And we also have our tree fruit area where we're doing espaliering and trellising of those. So a student can work in any one of those areas that they would be have interest in and get some real applied hands-on experience. And that's going to be starting here the 17th of June.
Yeah, let's get those dates out. You've got 17th of June. It's and the whole course runs it's 3 3-day segments, right? So you've got June 17th to 20th, June 24th to 27th, and July 15th to 19th.
That's correct. Actually, it's a 4-day week, Monday through Thursday, where the college is closed on Friday.
I'm sorry, yeah. You're right. What was I thinking?
No, that's fine. Because Monday through Thursday, students would come in each of those weeks and work on their projects. It's designed to give the student an individual project to work on. They'll have a mentor to work with, but really something they can take ownership in and learn from. And so there'll be some planning part of it. There'll be following through on taking data and looking at what's going on, and then wrapping it all up in kind of a formal presentation at the end. So kind of like a little mini internship is what it really is.
It sure sounds like it, and I would think that 12 days of intensive work would really train these students very, very well.
Well, we're hoping to. We want to give them a little background in what we would call experimental design. In other words, how do you set up a project to make sure that the information you get from it is reliable? We're going to try to weave in a little bit of statistics. And then, of course, there'll be data collection and taking all of that information and boiling it down into some final results. And, of course, getting a chance to get out and really see what goes on in terms of plant development and, you know, with the weather we've been having, how the amount of rain affects plant growth, soil conditions, just, you know, all the things that go into growing plants and food.
And, of course, it's $200 for the whole thing. I think that's pretty darned reasonable.
Well, we wanted to make it affordable. You know, there's an old saying, if it's free, it may not be worth much. So we wanted to put a little bit of money on this. We do have scholarship money available. So if there is a financial need there, we'd be glad to help out in that way. The point is to give students the opportunity, and I wouldn't want to deny anybody just because of the financial side of it. So if there is there is opportunity there for some scholarship money to kind of help defray some of the costs.
Yeah, and the reason we're talking about this now is obviously you're trying to get people lined up by June 17th, which is, you know, in a couple of weeks.
Right.
And where do you think you're going to be able to draw students from?
Well, I like to draw students from all over. I mean, there's no out-of-district tuition tied to this, so students, as long as they can get there and they, are willing to travel a distance, anywhere in the Chicago area is great. We'd be glad to have anyone.
All right. We've gotten that there, and I want to let people know if they heard this and they're interested, or they have a child know a student who might be interested, go to my website, mikenovak.net. The information is there on how to register. And some of the and the Kimberly Maya Ramirez and how to write to her. But very quickly, while we have a couple of minutes, one of the things you mentioned to me in email is like one of the, and you just mentioned in talking about this is, you know, last year we had a drought. This year we're flooded. How do plants? How does this stress plants? I had somebody write me just the other day and say, what do I do this year? You know, how is this crazy weather affecting my plants? What are some of your observations, Fred?
Well, in the interviews I've had this week with some of the plants, they're very confused. I enjoy the rain. You know, this is really helping out to make up for last year. In spite of the fact that we're getting lots of rain, there's still a lot of root regeneration that has to go on, particularly on our woody plants. Trees and plants that were put in last year definitely need as much moisture as they can to generate new roots. If they're already established plants, just let Mother Nature do its job, and hopefully, you know, we won't be flooding all the time. That's not good either on the other extreme, but this is far better than, you know, what we were looking at this time last year. So, you know, if you want to fertilize established plants, that's fine. I'd probably back off on something you planted last year and give it a chance just to recuperate and go through what we call transplant shock. And obviously this rain we're getting is very helpful.
What about the cool weather, you know, given that some of our vegetables like it a little hotter? Well, what are you seeing in that regard?
Well, it's going to slow things down. I know I planted some my tomatoes and some other things Memorial Day weekend, and they're doing fine, but they're not taking off. So it will have to get warmer for tomatoes and peppers and things like that. I'm confident we'll probably get into some warm weather here, and you'll probably see them really, really get going. But, yes, that it's fine to go ahead and put things in now. Of course, we're past our frost-free dates, just they'll have to run at their own course. But, yes, the cooler weather will slow things down that way.
You know, and I think you made a really good point. I have a tree out, a heptacodium tree out in my backyard that just took a hit because, and I think it was the drought, one of the main trunks just died. It just it just didn't come back from last year, and it must have been pretty stressed.
Right, and along with that, just going around the last few weeks, I've noticed, of course, related to the ash trees and some of the other trees that were struggling last year, some of them took a real nosedive, like you mentioned, because of drought, and some recovered and some didn't, and that's something we'll have to keep in mind. Just, in spite of the fact that we're getting all this rain, it'll probably take this season and probably next to really get things back on track, and depending on what kind of summer we have the latter half of the summer, which typically July and August can get hot and dry, you know, we could dry this, the topsoil out pretty quickly, you know, if there's a big demand for moisture from the plants. So, you know, this is great right now, and we need to enjoy it, but just be prepared that later in the summer, you know, we may see some changes.
Well, Dr. Frederick Miller, thank you so much. I love your advice, which is enjoy the rain while it's here.
I think
that's good stuff. And if you're interested in Urban Agriculture Summer Institute out of Joliet Junior College, go to my website, mikenovak.net, this week. And you will see all of that information. And I hope we talk again real soon, sir.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right. Have a great Sunday.
You too. Thank you.
Bye. It's perennial planting weather outside. That long, cool spring and all this rain we just talked about mean that now's the time to plant some long-lasting beauty in your soil. Stop by Christy Weber Farm and Garden Center on Grant Street to find something to brighten up any spot in your yard. There's climbing hydrangeas for sale, clematis for sun, and all of your favorites, too, like bearded iris, poppies, foxgloves, just to name a few. Now, Christy Weber Farm and Garden Center only carries the best organic fertilizers because they want your plants to perform their best. That's why they carry a full line of Dr. Earth fertilizers for all your plant needs. Christy Weber herself has been a perennial feature in Chicago's landscape for 25 years now, which is why when you hire Christy Weber Landscapes, you know you're getting the best there is when it comes to quality workmanship, attention, and care. Isn't that exactly what your landscape deserves? Visit their webpage at ChristyWeber.com and like them on Facebook to receive updates on special. Christy Weber Landscapes, right in your own backyard.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow,
or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Okay. Three-point landing coming in here. Everybody okay? And you guys are like all, they're so serious and they're buried in the Facebook and
We need some closing music.
Let's start working on it.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
What do you got in mind?
I got something in mind.
You got something in mind? All right. We'll have meeting after the show. We will discuss closing music. So then we roll the music and then over the music we say something. Yeah. We say our little slogan, which is go green or
go home.